when people ask the question, should I be rebaptized? Now, let's come to Revelation 3, because the root, one of the roots of that is Laodiceanism. Another root of that is not receiving the Holy Spirit. Another aspect of that is not comprehending real repentance. But let's notice something here that may indicate a need for rebaptism. The Church of the Laodiceans. Now, another cause of it is also being spiritually dead, the Sardisites. They have a name that you live, but you're dead. So those are the two extremes within talking about people who have been in the church and have been baptized and doubting their baptism. And part of the reason is that put themselves into an active relationship with God. And they sort of just sit back and let things go by, you know, not praying, not studying, so forth. And here we know about being lukewarm, being spewed out. If you're spewed out of the body and you repent, the question is, you need to be rebaptized. Now, that will have to be handled on individual counsel. Okay? Because we'll see the goal is to receive the Holy Spirit. And if you've been spewed out and still have a little bit of the Holy Spirit, you don't need to be rebaptized. But if you've been spewed out and you never had the Holy Spirit, though you were baptized, you need to be rebaptized. So, you have to take it all on an individual case, individual basis. But here's something interesting. He tells them to repent, use eye salve, clothe yourself spiritually. Verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, now that gets back to what we talked about yesterday about hearing the voice of the shepherd, who is Christ. And that's what has to be heard in any of our preaching, the words of Christ. Anyone hear my voice and opens the door, I will come into him. Now that's the door of their mind. Have to be. I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Sup means the same thing as fellowship and relationship where we have in 1 John, the first chapter, that our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. So that may be a cause for rebaptism, but not necessarily in every case, because you come to a situation where then let's come here to 2 Timothy, the first chapter. 2 Timothy, the first chapter. What if they still have the Spirit of God, but they're kind of... The light is dimming. Okay? So here's what you need to do. 2 Timothy, first chapter. Then you have Hebrews, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy. Okay? And Titus is the last book before Revelation. Okay. 2 Timothy, the first chapter, let's see what Paul says here. Verse 6. For this reason I admonish you to stir up the gift of God that is in you by the laying on of my hands. That's receiving the Holy Spirit. That is also for ordination. That ordination, laying on of hands, and God gives additional spirit in order to lead and to teach. So, how he's describing this probably includes both. Stir up the gift of God which is in you, by the way, not of my hands, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mindedness. So you also and the person you're counseling with must also make this judgment with you. Because the person you're counseling, the man or the woman, is the only one that can relate to you how they've been thinking. We're not mind readers. So they must participate in this to let you know what's been going on so you know what to do, and it helps them evaluate what they've been doing so they can make a right decision. Okay? So if they have the spirit, but it's down to the coals and it's kind of just glowing a little bit rather than burning, stir it up. Put some fuel on the fire. The word of God, repentance, and fasting, and prayer. That'll stir it up. Then we have the case where they never did receive the Holy Spirit. Let's come here to Acts 19. Acts 19. Now let's also understand something concerning a baptism that is not valid. Let's take, for example, a Baptist in the Baptist church. Many of them are sincere and convicted. But sincerity is not necessarily the key as to a valid baptism. Repentance is the key to a valid baptism. Did you know what sin is? Did you repent of your sins? Did you go before God and repent? Did you count the cost? Did you understand what you were doing? All of those are questions that you need to ask. But here in chapter 19, we have completely different circumstances related to a baptism very similar to the true baptism, that is, we'll see the baptism of John. Now it came to pass that while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the upper parts and came to Ephesus. And when he found certain disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit after you believed?" And they said to him, "We have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So they knew they didn't have the Holy Spirit. So there has to come a time in each one's life that he has to know that he has the Spirit of God or not. That she has to know that she has the Spirit of God or not. So you can't answer the question in just one counsel. So what I always do is this. I ask them to take some time, fast, pray, ask God to show you whether you have the Holy Spirit or not. And God will show it to you. God doesn't want to not let you know. So if you do find that you have the Holy Spirit, you do not need to be rebaptized. But in the event that you didn't really repent, in the event that you didn't really understand, then chances are you didn't receive the Holy Spirit. So that's how you have to handle it. But they said, we don't know. You haven't even heard of it. Then he said to them, "Unto what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Unto the baptism of John." Well, now the baptism of John is the closest thing to a real baptism you could get, which undoubtedly was far better than a baptism by the Methodist or the Baptist or by the Jehovah's Witnesses and all this sort of things. And Paul said to them, "Truly John baptized with a baptism unto repentance, saying to the people that they should believe in him who was coming after him, that is in Christ, in Jesus the Christ. And after hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in other languages and prophesied." And that was to show Paul that he was to stay there for 3 years to preaching. And actually, Ephesus then became the major church after the fall of Jerusalem. So he had quite a good foundation there. So if people are asking, do I need to be baptized again? We have to counsel them on an individual basis. But they must participate in the counseling, and they have to come to the conclusion themselves.
Those that have had demon influence or possession or they need to be ready to read that book. Is that right?
What's that?
Somebody that you cast demons over?
Okay, it's very interesting concerning conversion and demonism. Jim gave me an article here that he got from Sunday Keeping Minister. What church was he with? Jim, do you remember?
He was a Baptist.
A Baptist, yeah. Well, I read parts of it, not all of it, but Jim showed me the part of it where he said, well, we have to conclude that somebody who has the Spirit of God could also be possessed. So when I read that, I said, Jim, why don't you find out what he really believes? So he's a Sunday Keeping Baptist. Well, in their experience in the Baptist church, I'm sure that they have demon-possessed people there who they really thought were Christian, because they believe everyone in their church is a Christian. So he would conclude that. But I don't see anywhere in the New Testament that it shows us that anyone who has the Spirit of God can be possessed of the devil or a demon. They can be interfered with. Demons can put thoughts into our minds. And there are demons that reside in certain parts of the town. And I came to be aware of that when I was pastoring in Los Angeles, California. When I would go into a certain part of town, I would feel all these thoughts of hatred and animosity. And I said to myself, where'd that come from? Because I'm just driving my car, and why all of a sudden did I think thoughts of hatred and really bad stuff? And then in another section of town, where they had all of the homosexuals and the promiscuous sex, when I was going through that section of town one time, all these thoughts, miserable thoughts of sex came into my mind, and I wasn't thinking of it. And I thought, how did that happen? And of course I repented of it, you know, right there on the spot. But I think that it was the demons in control of that part of the town. And try and get everyone involved into thinking the same way. Now you have certain cities where they have gangs. And everybody's all wrapped up into gangs. And they have their satanic tattoos and everything. And of course, the demons are right there with them. And then you have different gangs fighting different gangs, so you have different demons, you know, struggling for supremacy. And if you get into some of those areas, you're gonna find that some of those things may happen to you. I don't know. Have any of you ever had something like that occur to you? Yeah. Okay, some of you have. Hans lives on a nice farm out there, and the only thing that gets him down once in a while is one of those critters out in his barn.
If you remember, though, the exercise had a voice.
Yes.
And for a little while, I had to pray very hard because that demon left him. The demon come and bother me.
Okay.
And I had to pray, Christ, please, I can't handle this, will you help? Glad to disappear from my house.
And also getting into casting out demons, as Vance mentioned there, the demon then tried to bother him after it was cast out of someone else. So in casting out demons, you need to do this with prayer and fasting, and you need to do it with great authority, and you need to be commanded to leave far away. And if there's a herd of swine someplace, let them go.
It's also up to the person, because you know my experience with that. That we went at it for 8 or 10 hours, and I couldn't speak the next day because that person didn't want the demons gone. They wanted most of them gone, but they wanted to protect the internet. Anyway,
yeah.
We rebaptized it.
Okay, concerning demon possession and so forth, getting back to the book, Change Your Brain, Change Your Life. In looking at some of the active areas of the brain that cause terrible behavior, it makes me wonder, are we actually seeing the part of the brain that a demon can stir up in an individual? And I would have to. Well, that's probably so. See, because if a demon's going to affect your mind, it's going to affect the reaction of how your brain, a brain scan will see how your brain is functioning. Jim?
How about when you clean them all out of the subclavian cortex? Come back in.
Oh, yeah, we have the case where Jesus cast them out and he gave the warning. He warned the Jews that this generation was like a man who had the demons cast out and didn't do anything to change his mind, change his thought, change the way that he was doing. See, because repentance is not only a confession of sins and an emotional experience between you and God personally, repentance also requires action to follow in God's way. So there must be that action to go in God's way. Otherwise, it's like the house that Jesus was talking about that was swept and cleaned, and the demon comes back and says, aha, look, it's ripe for the picking again. And he goes and gets 7 others worse than himself and comes back and possesses that person. And Jesus said, so it is with this generation.
These children that have autism, they sort of are speaking to me.
Okay.
We don't know what.
Comment regarding that demonic influence on a true Christian, I think they approach. That if there are, if you feel harassed, if they're bombarded, that you need to rebuke the demonic influence that's still there. Right?
Yes.
The other key thing is that when you get into drugs, if you give up your own free will by either with alcoholism or with drugs, you're also giving up your ability to effectively choose the right course of action. This is fertile ground for the demonic demonization, not possession, but you are, being a true converted person can at times be much more susceptible to Satan's broadcast. That's what you need to be aware of.
Okay, 2 things. When someone is being attacked demonically, which can happen, not possessed, then you have to rebuke the demon presence there. And I remember one time I got a desperate call from a woman in Australia. They moved into a haunted house. And there are haunted houses. So I told her, I want you to do this. I want you to take the phone and I want you to go into every room of the house and lay hands on the walls and I will pray for God to rebuke the demons out of every room of the house. And she did that, and they left. So sometimes you have to do it via long distance. Okay. Now, what was the other part of it?
Well, that at times it's not the biggest, you know, we're using certain drugs, and there's some medicated drugs.
Okay. Certain drugs can help people that have mental problems, as this book points out. But if you take any illicit drugs or overdose of legal drugs, you can cause changes in your brain. Now, that may or may not be demon possession, but it can set you up for demon possession because it weakens your mind. And that's why this book is very important for us to understand how we can teach the brethren to think, control their thoughts, and not let their thoughts control them. See, because when you let your thoughts control you, that is also an opening for a wrong spirit to begin to put thoughts into your mind. And we find that in Ephesians, the second chapter, the Prince of the Power of the Air, you know, and the fiery missiles of Satan. Okay. The other question was outsourcing. Autism is mostly not demon possession. There may be some cases diagnosed as autism, which may be demon possession. However, autism in children and ADD come from improper training of children in this way, and also medical malpractice by the doctors via vaccinations, because all vaccinations have mercury in them, and mercury causes mental problems. And what they do, years ago, they used to have two or three shots for the kids. They can overcome it. But now, by the time they're five, they have 40 to 50, and sometimes cases, 60 shots before they're 4 years old for immunization. And if you go online, you can find a lot of studies showing that, yes, the immunization causes autism and has an effect on ADD. But ADD is adult
attention deficit.
Attention deficit disorder. And then there's AADD, attention deficit disorder, and my attention is a little sputtering. And I'm not disordered. That is caused because they now find that you should not. You're going to make some people mad. They're going to say, oh, Brett Coulter's a fanatic. But listen up. You should not let your children be babysat by television, TV games, etc. Their minds are not geared, especially for cartoons. They should not watch television until they are 3 years old. Well, how am I going to do that? There is an off button. Use your brain, relate with your child, instead of the TV. And do not get them these little video discs with children's stories on them, because you watch any cartoon and it's the attention is fast. There's no normal movement. And so their brains then are programmed to this changing attention instantly here, instantly there, instantly in the other place. So by the time they go to school when they're 4 or 5, they have no attention span.
It's all violence, too.
Yeah, and a lot of it's violence in addition to it. Yes, indeed. So you're dealing with parents who have young children. They need to realize, starting at an early age, right from when they're born, don't start having them watch television at all. Period. Now, if you're addicted to television, this may help you become unaddicted to television. Because you have to turn it off. Now, I suppose this. If there is a television program which is run normally and is showing something of the creation of God without all of this radical change of attention instantly, that something like that occasionally would be okay to do. But you're not depriving your children of anything. You're helping their minds develop in a proper way.
Speaking of vaccinations, back in the 50s when they were developing the salt and the sabin polio vaccine, how they grew the vaccine was on the ground-up kidneys of dead rhesus monkeys.
Yeah.
And what they found out was not only did they pick up the vaccine against the polio, they also picked up cancers. One was bone cancer and 5 soft tissue cancers.
Yes.
So anybody that got it between like 1955 and 1962.
Yes, comment was made that because of the salt vaccine, what was the other one?
Sabin. Salt and Sabin.
Sabin vaccine, that those were taken from extracts of monkeys, dead monkeys.
Ground up kidneys.
Rhesus monkeys, if I remember correctly. And they also carried along with them the seeds of future cancer, and also severe cases of eczema coming from smallpox shots. Then the eczema comes in when you get to be 60, 65, and all of a sudden, woo, you're covered with eczema. And it comes from that. Remember this. There is a way that seems right to a man, and the ends thereof are the ways of death. So, there is a proper time to use physicians. There's a proper time not to use physicians. There's a proper time for chiropractors. There's a proper time for massage. There's a proper time for naturopathic things that you can do to help build up your resistance in your body. There's a time for all of those different things. But you see, living in this age, we have got to educate ourselves as to what is right. And you can't expect to have from the pulpit an edict, do this, do that, do the other thing, because we are all so different and complex that we all need to manage and take care of our own health according to what our strengths and weaknesses are, according to our body types, according to our health, and all of that. Now, that's why you need to have some good books and good guidelines, and you need to educate yourself and make yourself aware of a lot of these things so you can avoid a lot of sickness, a lot of disease, and you will be surprised how much that will help you, and if, you know, other people have questions, how much that will help them. Because taking care of health today is not a matter of clean or unclean meats alone. There are too many other things involved. Now, we're very blessed where we are, and I hope you're getting more and more of it. On our way, we can get 98% of our food organic. Meat, milk, butter, eggs, grains, bread, cheese. But almost everything we need is organic. Now, if you don't have that here, but you're a grocer, why don't you get up to speed like they are in other parts of the country? How about some organic milk? How about some organic butter? Now, it's going to cost you more, but you're going to be better off. Same way with children. The best way to immunize a child is for a mother to nurse her baby. Because the baby automatically gets through the mother's milk all the immunization of the mother. Now, if the mother doesn't have enough natural milk, then get goat's milk. Goat's milk sweetened with maple syrup gives the best balance for the children. Do not give them any of these powdered soy compounds. You are killing your child.
Well, I don't have time.
You better make time. You are the mother. You are responsible. And when you get a lot, when they feed them a lot of these things, that's where they get obese before they're a year old. And they'll be obese for life. And another thing I'll just add here, be careful, don't you eat too much soy, because soy is very, very, very high in estrogen. And can lead to, with the accumulation of estrogen, possible development of cancer.
Do you drink raw milk, or is it organic
but pasteurized? We get both kinds. We get raw milk, unpasteurized.
See, it's hard for us around here to find raw milk.
Okay. Why?
Now, I had that when I was young. I was raised.
That's
Trader Joe's? No, I don't know if you can check Trader Joe's.
Because it's not part of the Trader Joe's.
See if you can find a farmer. I think it says you can't buy milk direct from a farmer, and you can probably pay him more than he would get from the dairy, but you would be paying less than what you would pay in the store. Several of you could go together and help finance if a farmer wanted to give you ownership in a cow, then you're getting your own milk. And what you pay for your milk, pays for his care and upkeep and profit of taking care of your cow. There are many different ways you can work something. So.
Yeah, but on that, that's all regulated very much and is a very hot point with everything regulated. And so generally, if you were to find a dairy that would sell your milk, you would have to buy it for your pets.
Yeah.
To cover them.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you can get it what you want.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. They're big on that pasteurization.
Yeah. Good comment. Good comment. Comment was made that in some places the government agencies are so against raw milk that they will only let you buy it if you buy it for your pets. So if that's the case, then get yourself a nice galvanized milk tin and put on there, milk for pets. That is for your pet children, and your pet husband, and your pet wife. However, if they pull a Mordecai on you, you know you're in trouble.
Oh, I was just saying that in Tennessee, Kentucky, there was a lot of Mennonites.
Mennonites, yeah.
Yeah, they sell milk. And it's okay to know how they do around it. But you can buy those and bring milk eggs.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Comment was made in the areas where there are Mennonites and Amish, you can probably get milk and eggs directly from them. That's fine. You can do that. Probably meat, too. But I tell you what, the human body is a testimony of how great God is in that, in spite of all of the stupid, dumb things that people eat, we still exist. whether were as thin as a rail and looked like a walking skeleton, or were 4 feet wide and 7 feet around, you still live. You know? Same way with sweetening. Never use aspartame. How many here got the book I announced, what, 4 or 5 years ago? Excitotoxins? Okay. Get the book by Dr. Blakeney, Excitotoxins, because that becomes very important. Excitotoxins become very important as a companion book with this Change Your Brain, Change Your Life. Because the certain parts of the brain that causes hyperactivity one way or the other, or depressed activity one way or the other, comes from things like aspartame. Aspartame heightens the activity of the hypothalamus, and he talks a lot about the hypothalamus in there. Also, aspartame, being a highly concentrated protein, is not a carbohydrate sweep which your body needs. It is a toxin to the body that turns into formaldehyde at 96 degrees, and then your body has to build fat cells to isolate that. So sometimes that doesn't affect all people the same way. But many times you go in the grocery store and you look at the grocery cart, and you see they have diet pop here, diet this, diet that, everything diet this and that, and it all has aspartame in it. And aspartame, being a protein, creates a craving for carbohydrates because your body's trying to balance out the protein. And the carbohydrates then feed the fat to isolate the toxin of the aspartame, and hence some of the most avid drinkers of diet drinks are rotund beyond belief. And they can't understand why. Now, it doesn't affect everyone the same way, but a good number of them. So it's good education if you look at other people's shopping carts and see what they have in their cart, and then see what their body style is like. Now, I personally have to fight fat all the time. That's just the way it is. I have to be careful, I have to exercise. I can't eat sweet things, sugar, things like that. I just can't handle it. So you have to know your own strengths and weaknesses too, and as you get older, you have to watch out different things, because what you could eat when you were younger, you can't eat in the same proportion as you do when you're older. Anything else you'd like to add to it? No. We have a biochemist and nutrition sitting back there.
And what they've found now in terms of immunity, if you allow your kids to go out and play in reasonably clean dirt, they're going to pick up some of these natural organisms in the soil, which actually will be contributed to immunity. And also, correct diet, and avoid the other extremes that you mentioned, including Splenda. That's newer on the block. That one has a lot of problems. Splenda is a chlorine-containing sweetening agent, which basically is not totally digested, it's not absorbed. They now know that it is absorbed, and that is leading to all kinds of problems with people, including weight gain. Correct. Maybe most of these aren't just doing the weight gain.
Two comments. Number one, also avoid Splenda, because it's mainly chlorine, and it is absorbed into the system and can affect you worse than aspartame and cause you to gain weight. Why not just honey? Or raw sugar? Now, what was the other comment? Oh, yes. And with your children. If your children can play in the backyard where you have clean dirt, make sure the neighborhood cats don't use that. Your children, in playing in the dirt, can pick up a lot of the natural good organisms from playing in dirt that will also help boost their immune system. Now, none of our kids ever have shots. We did have a little bit of mumps. I think a couple cases of chicken pox. That was it. But the large breastfed them all. We lived up in Salt Lake and Boise. We got everything raw and organic. And hey, they're fine to this day. So it's how you take care of your kids. See, today, and Obama epitomizes that, kids are a nuisance. And I wouldn't want to deny my daughters, in case they made a mistake, that they would not be able to terminate an unwanted pregnancy. That's why also proper teaching and training about the family, and in particularly concerning women, and I just got a book that I haven't read but I'm going to read, which is called Sex and the Soul. And there are mental processes and emotions that take place in men and women when they participate in sex. That's why sex needs to be in marriage. Women, when they participate in sex, automatically excrete a hormone in them which makes them bond with the one they're having sex with. God made it that way. So when they become hookers and have many men, they are messing up their emotions and their mind, and they don't know what to do or who to love. So what happens? They then have to sear their conscience in order to exist without self-condemnation 24 hours a day. And you've heard me bring it out from Leviticus 19. Let's go there. Let's read it, because this is important. Women are the key to morality in any society, because God gave the woman the power to say no. And if you're dealing with an average, ordinary man who is just driven by sex hormones, and the woman insistently says no, he's not going to rape her. He'll turn back. But when the woman says, here I am, come everybody, the man has not the power to say no as the woman has the power to say no. That's why women look at men and say, ah, they're all just nothing but sex mongers. Well, when you have women just laying out everywhere, what do you expect it to be? Because God put it in the mind of a man to react to a woman's a visual seeing a woman and her body to react in a certain way. God made it that way, and that's why Satan is designing the clothes the way that they are, and it gives women the power that men watch me and see me wherever I go. And they have cleavage down to their belly button. You know. And they don't realize what these things out here are, what they're for. And so, when you have these things come along, wherever you prostrate your children, let me find it here. Leviticus 19:29. You shall not prostitute your daughter to cause her to be a whore, and that's what they do with sex education in high school. Well, not only high school, down to junior high. Down to middle school now. And also another thing, it's going to make all the kids mad when they hear this, because I'm an old curmudgeon. But your children do not need cell phones. They take the school. They do not need cell phones that they can call their dirty-minded, nasty friends to do things that they know you would not let them do. But you know what the 10, 12, 14-year-olds do now? They take photo pictures of their sex organs on their cell phone and send it to their boyfriends and girlfriends, and others collect them and put them online for porn. I mean, we're living in a terrible, vicious world. But you have to call a spade a spade, and you have to talk about the things that are here. Otherwise, you're going to be contaminated with Sodom and Gomorrah. It's just that simple. And you need to have straight talk with your children, and your children need to answer truthfully to your parents. And always have Ronald Reagan's motto: trust but verify their behavior. Because when they want to go out and do the things that they do, that they know you wouldn't let them do, that's when they get in trouble, and that's when they destroy their life sometime for the rest of their life, and that's when most of the young people die because of car wrecks, drug overdoses, and things like that.